Sevastita Pramukhi Dhartarastrai Na Chaita Vitma Kataranagaryo Yadvajaye Maya Divano Jayayu Yani Vahatva Jidichi Vishamas Sevastita Pramukhe Dhartarastrai Next, please. Na chaitad vitma katarannu kariyo Yava chaye maya divanu jayayu Yane vahatva nachichi vishamas Sevastita Pramukhe Dhartarastrai Nachaita Vitma Kataranno Gariyo Yadva Jaye Maya Divano Jayayu Yane Vahatva Najichi Vishamas Sevastita Pramukhe Dhartarastra Na Not Cha Also Itat This Vitma Do we know Katarat Which Na For us Karya Bitter Yatva Wither Jayama We may conquer Yadi If Va Or Na Us Jayayu They conquer Yan Those who Eva Certainly Hatva by killing na never Chichi Vishama we would want to live Te all of them Avastita are situated Pramukhe in the front Dhartarashtra The sons of Dhritarashtra. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we killed the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield. Purport. Arjuna did not know whether he should fight and risk unnecessary violence, although fighting is the duty of the Kshatriyas, or whether he should refrain and live by begging. If he did not conquer the enemy, begging would be his only means of subsistence. Nor was there certainty of victory because either side might ever emerge victorious. Even if victory awaited them and their cause was justified, still if the sons of Dhritarashtra died in battle, it would be very difficult to live in their absence. Under the circumstances, that would be another kind of defeat for them. All these considerations by Arjuna definitely prove that not only was he a great devotee of the Lord, but he was also highly enlightened and had completely control over his mind and senses. His desire to live by begging although he was born in the royal household, is another sign of detachment. He was truly virtuous. As these qualities combined with his faith in the words of instruction of Sri Krishna, this spiritual master, indicate, it is concluded that Arjuna was quite fit for liberation. Unless the senses are controlled, there is no chance of deviation to the platform of knowledge, and there's no chance of elevation to the platform of knowledge. And without knowledge and devotion, there's no chance of liberation. Arjuna was competent in all these attributes, over and above his enormous attributes in his material relationships. Na chetat vidma kataran nakaryo yatva jayema yadivanu jayeyu yat yaneva hatva na jiji vishamas tadvastita pramukhe dadharashtara. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmitam Yena Chasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So here in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains that Arjuna is a liberated soul. So how can he be put in ignorance and illusion? Because later on Krishna will tell him, you're actually speaking like a fool. But here Srila Prabhupada explains that he's not on the false person on the false ego platform. He would be completely eager. Yes, let's go out and kill these rascals. They committed so many offenses and they deserve it. And from a material point of view, they certainly did deserve it. Duryodhana was a great, great rascal, actually a demon. And even Krishna likes so much to kill demons. So, but here Arjuna shows his soft heart. If we kill them, even if we kill them, even if we win the kingdom and we kill, how can we enjoy the kingdom when they're all dead? So he showed a very soft heart, and Prabhupada says this is a sign of a devotee. A devotee always has a soft heart for other living entities, even the ones who offend us. We should actually be ready to develop this and cultivate this mood, that even the idiots and the rascals out there in the material world, we should actually have a soft heart for them, because that is Mahaprabhu's mission. Krishna, he didn't care. Somebody didn't like, swap off with the head, just like the tailor in Mathura when Krishna came, and there was this tailor coming, or the clothes maker with a bundle of clothes for Kamsa, and Krishna said, "Oh, nice clothes. Can I have that?" And the tailor said, "No, this is for Kamsa, this is for the king, you're just a boy, who do you think you are?" And immediately Krishna just, pew, and swapped off his head. That's Krishna. He actually likes to kill people. He enjoys it. He creates rivers of blood, and they are described in the Krishna book. It's very beautiful, because when God, what God does is very beautiful. It doesn't matter if it's killing or being nasty or if it's good. Like the Christians, they have a very hard time coming to terms with a God who's absolute. See, they say God is very good and the devil is evil. But that means that if God is good and the devil is evil, means that God needs the devil to be good, because they can only understand good in terms of evil as a duality. They're caught on this dualistic platform. But the Vaishnava theology is absolute. We have the answer. Krishna is everything. And if there's evil in this world, it comes from God. Where else would it come from? Krishna says, Janma Jasya Taha. Everything comes from me. So, actually, there couldn't even be evil in the world if there was no God. Because, say there's no God, and like the atheists say, everything is just random chance, and a bunch of chemicals came together, blah, 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 and created the whole world. Then you can't even talk about good and evil. Because that is just what you mentally speculate about it. It's just your idea. You can't say, absolutely, this is good, this is evil. You can say, I think. But actually, who gives a hoot what you think or what I think? So there's only good and bad, evil and good in the world, because there's a God who makes it so. And Krishna does that, and he does everything. He makes everything. So he's also given this wonderful Vaishnava philosophy and theology. So Krishna, he likes to kill the rascals. Of course, they're liberated when he kills them. That's the mercy of Krishna. And because he's absolute, whether he treats you roughly or kills you or he treats you with love, the result is the same. That's how kind Krishna is. But in this day and age, Mahaprabhu has come and he doesn't actually kill people. What Mahaprabhu does is that he kills the atheistic, demonic mentality. And he does that by knowledge. And that's what Mahaprabhu has come to give us. And of course, we know this from Srila Prabhupada only. If Prabhupada hadn't come and told us, we wouldn't know anything about all these things. But Prabhupada came and told us and gave us the gift of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu's gift is to deliver the most fallen. Not by killing them, but by killing their demonic mentality. I used to be a complete atheist, and I would scold Christians and say, idiots, you really believe this trash from an old book? If there is a God, there wouldn't be all this evil in the world, which is actually a very stupid thing to say. But if there isn't a God, there, it's true, there wouldn't be evil, but there also wouldn't be good. There wouldn't be anything except what you make it. But they always use this as an argument, because all this evil is in the world, then there's no God. But it is only because there is a God that there's evil, otherwise there wouldn't be anything. That's how stupid you become when you're an atheist. So Mahaprabhu has come to deliver all these extremely fallen people. And it is, and therefore we have to develop, just like Arjuna, we have to develop a soft heart for their stupidity. It's very hard to actually have mercy on a stupid person, because the natural tendency is to, if somebody's stupid, to just become annoyed and dismiss the person. But Srila Prabhupada says, if you are annoyed by someone's stupidity, it actually means you're even more stupid yourself. Because as practitioners of transcendence and of bhakti yoga, we are supposed to develop equanimity and equal vision, like Krishna says. A Brahmin sees with equal vision the cow, the Brahmin, the Shudra, stupid person. Whatever you are, he will see this is a soul. Because when we get this knowledge, we understand that everything, everyone is a soul. Even an ant or a dog out there is actually a soul. And it is our business as devotees of Krishna to try to deliver them. And how do we do that? By chanting Hare Krishna, by giving them prasad, and by explaining the philosophy. Now, most people, they don't even want to hear the philosophy, and they don't have the brain for it. So they get some prasadam, Or if we meet a real antagonistic person, we'll just say, Krishna, very good, now go away. At least he's heard the word, the name of God, Krishna, and that will save him from hell. You even say Krishna's name even once, and it counteracts even more sins than you can commit many lifetimes. Now here, Arjuna, he's actually bewildered. And of course, he's only bewildered because Krishna makes him so, so he gets a chance to speak the Bhagavad Gita. Because Arjuna, the first thing Krishna tells him, the very first instruction, is he says to Arjuna, you're a fool lamenting for those people because you're only lamenting for their body. And Krishna proceeds to tell Arjuna, you're not the body, you're the soul within. So why should you lament for someone's body? That's foolish. Then Krishna goes on to tell him that you are the body, you're a kshatriya, and you have to act like a kshatriya. So Krishna gives contradictory instructions. First he says you're not the body, and then he tells Arjuna you're a kshatriya, saying you're the body, and you have to act like a kshatriya. So Arjuna, that will come in chapter 3. Arjuna will reveal his bewilderment and Krishna will explain. He will explain that, yes, you're not the body, but as long as we're here in the material world, we have to act like the body. So it's an act. The body type that we have, as long as we're not completely purified, because an Uttamadhikari, he doesn't see the body. He sees a dog, or a bird, or an ant, or a human being. He just sees the soul. He doesn't see the body. But we are not on that platform. And also, to preach, we have to distinguish. Like, we don't preach to a dog. We preach to a human, so we distinguish. A dog, we make it prasadam. That's also preaching. But we don't explain Bhagavad Gita to a dog or a cat or an ant. That would be quite stupid because they won't get it. And even the most people in the world don't get it. So we have to distinguish. Sanmati Manikari, at least we have to act on that platform as preachers. And then we have to distinguish between demons and devotees. We don't actually preach to demons, because they just become agitated. So we just stuff some prasadam down their throat. That's only hope. Or we scream Hare Krishna in their head. Or we lock them in a cage and have devotees circumambulating, chanting Hare Krishna. That's the only way you can preach to a demon. But some people, they are searching for the truth. And to those people, we can preach the philosophy. And the philosophy is that as long as we're not completely purified on the liberated platform, we have to act in the terms of the body that we have. Now, Krishna says, man mana bhava mat bhakto majati man namaskuru. You should give everything to me, think of me, become my devotee. But if we can't do that, at least we can act with the body that we have and offer the result to Krishna. And if we can't do that, we can offer our work, like we can offer our result to Krishna. And if we can't do that, at least, that's the lowest platform, karma yoga, to act and give the result. But we try, as devotees, we try to give everything, not just some of it. Karma yoga means that you work for yourself, but you give some of it to Krishna to God, because you want to be pious, and you also know somehow that if you are a religious, pious person, you will get more enjoyment. That's just the law of nature. If you're a rascal and make people suffer, that suffering will come back to yourself. So a clever person who wants to enjoy in the material world, he's pious, so he can enjoy better in the material world. And Krishna, that's what Krishna says in the 12th chapter. At least you should do that. be pious and offer some of your result to me. But best is that if you can just give everything and be a devotee and just have me as the ultimate goal of life. And that's what we do in the Hare Krishna movement. We actually make Krishna the ultimate goal of life. We may have so many impurities, so many sins, so many bad habits, but at least we are on the path of purification, and that means we'll end up with Krishna. And we make Krishna the goal of life, the goal of our life. Now, from the point that we do this consciously, I will make Krishna the goal of my life. And to actually come to the point where we don't have any more impurities or anarthas in the heart, that may be a long way. So therefore, the sadhana bhakti process, we act and we worship Krishna, we worship Tulsi, we take prasadam, we chant the holy name. And that will gradually purify the mind and the body, and in the end we are pure devotees. That is the wonderful gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And this is what Krishna explains here. Gradually, first he tells Arjuna, you're not the body. Then he tells him, you have to act like you're the body, because in the material world we have to act. We will do it anyway. The tendencies that we have, we'll act in that way. But instead of just doing it for ourselves, we do it for Krishna, and that is purifying. Instead of just doing it for sex and drugs and rock and roll, we do it for Krishna. And then we will become purified, and we will go back to Godhead. And Krishna says, so you have to act in the capacity of your body, but you should do it for me. And I actually want this war. I want to kill these persons. So you should act as my instrument. Krishna tells Arjuna, I actually already killed all these people because they're rascals, they're demons. But you should do it for me. Because you see, in Krishna's frame of mind, for us it may be like 100 or 1,000 years. But for Krishna, since he is eternal, it's just like a flash, even 1 billion years, even the whole duration of Brahma's life is just like this in eternality. It doesn't matter how much time we take out of eternality, it is still as good as nothing. And that is our real position. Krishna is eternal, and so are we. But we are caught in this time frame, in this material time. So we see time in past, present, and future. But when we become liberated, we won't see this anymore. We will only see now, and now I have to serve Krishna. See, this is like my mind works. Yes, I have the whole eternity. Let me just enjoy a little more, and then in the future I can serve Krishna and become a pure devotee. And I have to wait to become purified. But a pure devotee doesn't see that, you know, in the future. In Vrindavan, it's not like Mother Yashoda. She thinks, oh, tomorrow I will cook for Krishna. She always thinks, right now I will cook for Krishna. And of course there's a sequence of time in the spiritual world, but it is always in the mind of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. It is always now they love Krishna, now they serve Krishna, now they please Krishna, because it's eternal time. Of course the sun comes up, the sun goes down, there's the moon, there's night and day. So it can be a little bewildering, and I guess we will wait until we get there to actually understand what it means. That there's night and day, but there's no time. Prabhupada said once in one place that eternality means in the spiritual world, it is one prolonged, expanding present movement. So that's what eternal time is. It's always now. Still there's night and day, so go figure. But Krishna has given us this wonderful opportunity to become purified and to become lovers of Krishna and his devotees. And in the material world, as long as we're here, we are practicing that. So we are practicing. We should practice to see all living entities as souls, We have to think every time we see someone, oh, not see the body, but see the soul. We may actually not have realized it, but we should practice intellectually by imagining. You can see a dog, and you imagine, of course we know that there's a soul, but we may not have realized it fully, but we practice like that. And we also know that Krishna's name is not different from Krishna. We may not know that, but we should think about it and intellectualize about it and preach to our own mind. And in the end, we will actually understand, and every time we chant Hare Krishna, we'll become completely ecstatic. As it is now, it may not, like I know, you know, when I'm on my last round, I think, thank God, I'm finished. But when I'm liberated, I won't think like that. I'll just want to go on, because there's no difference between chanting Krishna's name and being with Krishna. Right now we take it as a duty, and that is also good, to take it as a duty to serve Krishna. I have to do this because Srila Prabhupada told me to do it, and my guru told me to do it, so therefore I'm doing it. That's very good. But the goal is that we'll do it out of spontaneous enthusiasm. We'll just love Krishna so much that whatever, wherever we are, whatever we do, we'll just be completely immersed in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada says that pure devotee is not even 1 second a day that he doesn't think of Krishna. So for us, it may be half time, half the time, half the day I think of Krishna, and half the day I think of myself and my problems, and my wife and my kids, and my rent, and my moped, and all these things that we have to do in the material world. We think a lot about these things. But when we become purified, they will amount to nothing. It'll be like broken glass. Who cares? And we'll only think of Krishna. But from being here where we are, on the conditioned platform, to being on the liberated platform, there is some time. In eternity, it's just like we are actually already liberated, because we are already back in the spiritual world. We just don't know it yet. And we are in the material, because we are in the material time. And even if we, there's this story about, I think it was Mukunda or someone who, he annoyed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became angry and he banned him from his association. And the devotees tried to, oh, but he's a nice devotee, please see him again. And Mahaprabhu said, okay, after 1,000 births, I will see him again, I'll take him back. And they went and told Mukunda, Mahaprabhu will see you after 1,000 births. And he will see me again. So for a devotee, 1,000 births is nothing. If that's what it takes, yes, we'll do it. We'll do whatever it takes to get to Krishna. But Prabhupada, he did admonish us that we should do it in this lifetime. He said, don't stay here and space out, do it in this lifetime. And that's the gift that Prabhupada has given us, that we can actually finish our business in the material world in this one lifetime and go back to Krishna. And he's given us this wonderful book, Krishna. Sometimes people, they say, but if there is a God, why doesn't he reveal himself? But that's what Krishna does in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the only book in the world where somebody who says, I'm God, I'm the absolute truth, explains about himself, the world, and the jiva in absolute detail. In the Bible, there's no words from God. In the Quran, there's nothing from God. There may be something from Muhammad. And in the Bible, there's one time God speaks as a burning bush to Moses, and he gives the Ten Commandments. But what's that? Be good, don't lust after, you know, your friend's wife. That's just normal morality. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, God actually explains about it. So when people come and say, but God, why doesn't he reveal himself? We give him Bhagavad Gita, because that's where Krishna reveals himself. And what to speak of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna reveals himself completely. So in the Vedic tradition, we have all the knowledge. We know who God is. We know what he wants. We know where he lives. We know who his girlfriend is. We know what he does. We can tell everything about God. Nobody else in the world can do that. You ask a Christian or a Mohammedan, who is God? The most they can say, the Creator. But we can tell everything about God. And Prabhupada, because Prabhupada told us. And what was the first thing Prabhupada said about God? He's the enjoyer. Enjoyer and controller. See, that's a concept of God that is lacking in every other religion. That God is actually the enjoyer. He enjoys life. Just like if I ask you, what would you do if you were God and you could do what you would like? One time I asked some person that, and they became a little embarrassed. They don't want to say. But actually, I can tell you what you want to do if you are God. You would do exactly what Krishna is doing. You would kill the rascals, you would get the girl, and you would have a good time. You would be a hero. Every man wants to do that. Every man wants to be a hero. Every man wants to know how to fight. And every man wants to get the girl. And that's what Krishna is doing all the time, eternally. That's what God is actually doing. That's why we want to do these things. Because originally that is what Krishna is doing. And taking care of the cows and having fun with his friends and his family. That's what everyone wants to do. Having fun with their friends and family and being the king and famous. And Krishna does all these things. That's what we would do. And that's what we are trying to imitate in the material world. We're just trying to be the enjoyers. But actually there's only one enjoyer. And we are not the enjoyers, we are meant to be enjoyed. And because we are parts of Krishna, when we are enjoyed by Krishna, we feel pleasure and happiness much more. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, where it says that Krishna says, those who are with me, the soul who is with me, enjoys a satisfaction which is infinitely greater than what you can get through a body, through sense gratification. So when we are being enjoyed by Krishna, by serving him, that means Krishna is enjoying us, then we feel much greater happiness than if we ourselves try to enjoy this body. And that's the secret. And that we only know because of Srila Prabhupada and because he gave us the Bhagavad Gita. Even other editions of the Bhagavad Gita, they don't even though Krishna says clearly that I am God, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, everything comes from me. Mata Sparsha Sukhandaya, Sitvoshna Sukhatukata. There's no truth beyond me, Krishna says. I am God, everything comes from me. And only in the Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is that explain Krishna is God. Nobody else, all these other commentators, they don't say Krishna is God. Even though Krishna says himself in the Bhagavad Gita that he's God. These other commentators, they don't even mention that Krishna is actually God. They try to speculate so many things. Even Gandhi, who's considered a very great pious person, who's speculating, said that, you know, the Kurukshetra is the body and the five Pandavas are the five senses. You know, just complete speculation. Kurukshetra is a real place. The five Pandavas, they are actually historical persons who actually exist. This is a piece of history. This is not some mental speculation. And the Bhagavatam is a piece of history too. It's actually happened. Just like when you see movies nowadays, they love all these mystic powers and, you know, Superman and Batman, they can do all these fantastic things. But Bhima and Arjuna could do much more fantastic things than Superman, and they actually did that. Well, if you tell people that, they say, yeah, you see too many movies. But this is actually history. You know, that actually, even 5,000 years ago, people like that existed, who had mystic powers, and who could do things like Superman and Batman in the cartoons. They could actually do these things. So we have been so fortunate to come in contact with this wonderful knowledge, this wonderful religion and philosophy by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his followers, and it behooves us to give it to others. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your kind attendance and your presence. Are there any comments or questions? All right, so we'll end here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gopremanande Hare Prabhu.